WWIB, it's the WIB Wake Up Show, 5:45, time for the best 5 minutes of the day, and it is a warm start at that. It's 64 degrees, and I hesitate to tell you, Jason Cairns, how warm it is in the studio, 83 degrees.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Why is it 83 degrees in the studio?
That's a good question, but anyhow, it just is, the outside temp is 64. That's what it's telling me it is in here, so I don't know.
All right. That's a warm one.
They want me to cook like an egg or something, I guess, this morning. So
apparently, sweat you out.
Yeah. So it was nice to wake up this morning and see a little note one of my daughters wrote. Kind of put a coffee cup out with a hot chocolate pack and a little brownie and said, "Dad, thanks for all the things you do that we don't have to worry about." So that was nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a great start to the day.
It is.
I know how you like your faux lattes and...
Yes.
So, yeah.
I call him a poor man's mocha. But anyhow, also, tonight, 7 o'clock, Valley Brook Church, downtown Eau Claire, suggested a donation, $10 for Sam Shovel, private detective, The Long Walk Goodbye. A woman's pampered pooch goes missing, and Detective Sam Shovel is on the case. And Dawson has worked his way up to be her assistant.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Dawson and Elvin, both in this, people know the name Jeffries, Jim and Jane Jeffries, incredibly talented writers. Their plays done all over the country, many of them. And this is Sam Shovel, private detective. So that is tonight. All right.
Very cool.
Yeah, so check that out. It's another fundraiser for Team Rec Africa, as it was when they did one of these earlier this year. And, well, that's not enough. Sue Orfield, incredible saxophonist. She's part of this. It's kind of like a traditional radio theater. So it starts at 7 o'clock tonight.
Nice.
All right.
I think you mentioned her name last time.
Right. I'm a name dropper.
So,
for
yeah.
Sure.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
Well, I don't know. A little bit of fallout from the election. One thought I had is just we have to, for us in the body of Christ, you know, Jesus did not come to set up a political kingdom, even though they thought he was going to. Translate from then to now, he's still not about a political kingdom. And I just think we need to watch it in terms of our thoughts, our words, our actions. I'm not saying don't get involved in it. I'm just saying, for me, Colossians 3 says, set your mind on things above, not on things below. And I find, you know, as interesting and fascinating, I call politics competition that matters, but we talked about it yesterday. You said the love-hate relationship with politics. Like, brother and sister in the Lord, watch yourself with this, right?
Yeah, you know, I think we end up, end up in places where we begin to enter into significant disagreement. And I think disagreement is fine, but when it leads to us dehumanizing other people, you know, I've seen a number of people commenting that certain positions, certain people are no longer Christian because of how they voted. And, you know, if we understand that accepting the love of Christ as the root of our salvation, yeah, I think we've gotten off track. And it's so easy for us to, I think, get unbalanced in regard to what we're focusing on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're exactly right. The kingdom of God is what we're supposed to be about.
Right. Seeking it, and then Luke 17, the kingdom of heaven is among you or within you. And...
Yep.
So, I don't know. That's just something where all of a sudden, you know, it becomes a Jesus plus or Jesus but. And then it's like, that's no longer Jesus. So.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, we have to.
And I think we're all at risk, you know, and mm-hmm. I think that's the piece is that we have so many different things we can add on the faith.
Mm-hmm.
And for it's different for many of us, but I think we all run that risk, and you're exactly right. It's getting back to that famous or that well-known book, Jesus plus nothing equals everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we need to get back to.
Yeah. All right. And, boy, we got our work cut out for us, really, in Romans 8. I don't know if we can do all this today. Can we do it? Romans 8, 31 through...
I think so.
All right. Go for it.
Yeah. So 31 to 34 says... What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and raised us to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us.
Okay, Romans 8, 31 to 34, in Letters to the Beloved, Jason's devotional commentary goes like this. Beloved, I hope that you are beginning to see that you cannot save yourself. Your salvation is all of grace, and if I, the glorious creator and sustainer of everything, have welcomed you, who could hold you back? No one can cancel my love for you. The love I revealed by sending my son as a light in a darkened world should be evidence of the abundance of my grace. If I approve and welcome you, who can condemn you? No one. You are wholly approved. You belong with me. If you do not believe it, look to my son who willingly went to the cross, and not only that, burst forth from the chains of death, ascending back to his rightful place where he is enthroned at my right side. From that place, he continually tells me how much he loves you. Final thought.
Yeah, you know, I think that's just where we need to center, right, is understanding that the grace and love of God is truly for us and nothing can take that away.
Uh-huh. All right, good morning, friends. Welcome to the call to the day on this 65-degree Thursday morning, Veterans Day Eve, November 10th, 2022. Yeah, this is day number 314 on the year out of 365 in this calendar year. This is the day that the Lord has made, so what do you say? Let's rejoice and be glad in it, huh? His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Lamentations 3. Yesterday's gone. Wave goodbye. Tomorrow's unborn. Life's here. It's now. Eternity's in it. So carpe diem. Let's seize this day and every moment in it. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're much more than just a body who happens to have a soul. My friend. You are a soul who happens to have a body, as is every person you'll meet from now till you go to the other side. So how about them apples? Hey, in Christ, you are accepted. You're God's child. You're Christ's friend. You've been justified. You're united with the Lord, and you're one with him in spirit. You've been bought with a price. You belong to God. You're a member of his body. You're a saint. You've been adopted as God's child. You have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. You've been redeemed and forgiven of all your sins. And what do we say around here? All means all, and that's all means. You are complete in Christ, Colossians 2:10. You're not only accepted, you're secure. You're forever free from condemnation, assured that all things work together for your good. There you go. You are free from any condemning charges against you. You cannot be separated from the love of God. You've been established, anointed, and sealed by God. You're hidden with Christ in God. You can be confident that the good work that God has begun in you will be perfected until the day of Christ Jesus. Philippians 1:6, he's making you into the image and character of Christ. And not only that, you are not only accepted and secure, but in Christ, friends, you are significant. You're the salt and light of the earth. You're a branch of the true vine, a channel of his life. You've been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. You're a personal witness of Christ. You are God's temple, a minister of reconciliation. You're God's co-worker. How about that? So what do you say? Do you believe God loves you right now, right where you're at?
Do you believe that the God of Jesus loves you beyond worthiness and unworthiness, beyond fidelity and infidelity, that he loves you in the morning sun and the evening rain, that he loves you when your intellect denies it, your emotions refuse it, your whole being rejects it? Do you believe that God loves without condition or reservation and loves you this moment as you are?
Yes, I'm going to say affirmative to that. Yes, I believe. Lord, help me in my unbelief. 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. How did he love us? Romans 5:8, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. To err is human, to forgive is divine. Thank you, Jesus, that you paid it all. First of all, we start with our Facebook birthdays today. Nancy Stillwell, a Henry Lippold trained journalist and alum of UW-Eau Claire, training journalist herself down in the Madison area for a while. Happy birthday, Nancy. Adam Street, one of the sons of Wayne and Brenda Street. Happy birthday, Adam. Joan Miles, also Willie Lehner. Happy birthday, Willie. Chastity Jean, Andy Jacobs, Jackie Nordwig with a birthday today. Happy birthday, Jackie. Kansas Workenthein, she got married here recently. New last name. Happy birthday. Brad Pribanow and Steve Hurd all celebrating November 10th birthdays today. Doing so with the likes of Mackenzie Phillips, the actress from the television show One Day at a Time. She's turning 63 today, and if you're real still, you can almost hear the theme from that television show. This is it. Thank you, girls. Appreciate it. All right, other birthdays today include Hugh Bonneville from Downton Abbey. He is turning 59 today. Here you go. Happy birthday to Hugh. Never, I just, you know, it's not one of those shows I've gotten into. Not, I just haven't, but, and I've got a couple of movies already. Michael Jai White from some Tyler Perry movies, 58. Tracy Morgan from The Last OG and 30 Rock, 54. Ellen Pompeo from Grey's Anatomy is 53. Now, we wouldn't have that. Walter Goggins from Ant-Man and the Wasp is 51. Heather Matarazzo from Lily in The Princess Diaries, and she's 40 now. Josh Peck from Drake and Josh and Turner and Hooch, 36. Taron Egerton from Rocketman, 33. Zooey Deutsch from Zombieland, Double Tap and Set It Up, 28. Mackenzie Foy from Interstellar and The Conjuring is 22. Our promise of the day is Romans 8:15. What do you know? I have given you the spirit of adoption so you can call me Father. It's so good it's worth repeating. I have given you the spirit of adoption so you can call me Father. Go check out the beautiful flower picture and the devotion that goes with that at 365promises.com. Matt Maher turning 48 today. The Whip Wake Up Show on a 66-degree Thursday. I don't know, that temp going to reach a point and then kind of drop throughout the day.
Well, pet experts are warning folks to be careful with their furry friends over the holidays. They say all the celebrations actually bring added risks to your dogs and cats. So, again, some public safety information for your pets today.
Yeah, a lot of holidays have pet concerns, right? 4th of July with the loud fireworks and everything. The dogs kind of react to that, kind of frightened sometimes. So,
yeah.
Yeah, in fact, they're urging owners to keep pets from drinking the water in Christmas tree stands as the pine needles are often sprayed with chemicals.
See, I wouldn't have thought about that, but again, if you go real tree, sure, there's that possibility. And I know Arlo, yeah, probably would not think twice about drinking from the Christmas tree stands.
Right.
Other popular plants like poinsettias can be poisonous to pets. Now, we talked about this before, kind of that myth, would it actually, you know, kill like a cat or something like that, and I think what we found through a little bit more research at least is probably not fatal, but could certainly make your cat sick, have some digestive issues, not anything that you want.
Other hazards to avoid this holiday season include strings of lights, open flames, and holiday candy, especially chocolate.
I know, the dogs, they're just like, well, I want it, why can't I have it? you can't not good for you. Don't eat the chocolate.
There you go.
Well, in life, there are people who run marathons for fun, and then there are others who would rather die than go at any pace faster than a walk. Which camp do you fall in?
Yeah, there you go. I've done one half marathon my whole life, and running...
That's more than I have.
I got a bit of a foot issue on one of them, and so it's backing off on running. Even treadmills. I'm more of getting the weights, but not really just kind of taking walking the dog as my exercise these days.
Well, experts are starting to think that the difference between, again, those two mentalities actually has something to do with genetics. Researchers at the University of Georgia looked at 3,000 adults' exercise habits and observed their brain's response to exercise. And they found something pretty interesting.
Yeah. In fact, they found that people who have trouble sticking to an exercise routine or don't even bother have a genetic variation that affects the way their brain cells bind with dopamine, the neurotransmitter responsible for making you feel pleasure and reward.
Because I think that's always kind of the selling point for exercise other than, you know, hey, maybe living longer. But saying, hey, you actually feel good. It might be tough to work up the motivation, but you're going to feel good. You're going to get that dopamine release. You're going to feel great after you exercise. But apparently for some people, that's just not true.
So the next time a conversation turns at the water cooler or at an office party or something, and people are talking about exercise, people can just launch into this and go, yeah, I think I've got a genetic variation.
Yeah. Who's going to argue with that?
Right, right.
Y'all go. I'm good. Exercise is good for you, but I can totally understand why some people are just saying, if I'm not feeling good afterward, it's tough to work up the motivation.
But it is a great thing. Our dogs get us to walk them, and maybe you're getting your steps in there.
Yeah, I know exercise gives you energy, but you need energy to exercise. And that sounds like a pyramid scheme to me.
We've done this before, Howell, but again, we just keep getting more material, so we've got to bring it back to the air. It's the WIB Wake Up Show here on WWIB, and these are more of the worst excuses for calling in sick to work that actually happened, actually were given.
Truth is stranger than fiction, and it's funnier, too. All right, actual excuses. One employee called in and said, yeah, I'm just not going to come in today. I'm kind of crabby.
Just stay home. Work's excuses for calling in sick. Real life examples. Employee got whiplash. Oh, dear. From brushing her hair. Use the detangler.
I could just see that. Ah, I got whiplash. Wow, you were in a car accident? Now hairbrushing. All right, another employee said that her psychic told her to stay home or something awful would happen to her.
Can't argue with that, right? Worst excuses for calling in sick. Real life examples. Employee said he wasn't feeling well and didn't come in because he wanted to rest up for the company's holiday party that night.
You know, it's the whole thing. I'm not going to go to school, but I'd like to go do something else at night, right? Athletic event. All right, that's here's another one. It's kind of like top this. This excuse. At her sister's wedding, the employee said she chipped her tooth, bent over to spit it out, hit her head on a keg, and was knocked unconscious with a mild concussion.
That almost sounds true.
Wow.
Worst excuses for calling in sick to work. Real life examples. Employees actually use these. One said, I can't come into work. I was injured while getting a haircut. What's with the hair brushing and the hair cutting?
I mean, it could have been.
They lop off part of your ear?
Wow. Be careful. One employee said, you know what? I'd love to come in, but I tasted some dog food because the dog wasn't feeling well, and now I'm not feeling well myself.
But at least I figured out why the dog was sick.
Right.
And finally, one more. Worst excuses for calling in sick. Real life examples here in the WIB Wake Up Show. A groundhog bit the employee's car tire, causing it to go flat, and that's why I can't come into work today.
Wow. There you go.
Those groundhogs giving us more winter and flattening our tires.
Some of the funniest, strangest excuses ever for calling in sick. Today is the Marine Corps anniversary, and thanks to Troy, the trucker, who asked for us to play the Marine Corps hymn. We did that, our second song in the 7 o'clock hour. But tomorrow, Caleb, Veterans Day.
Absolutely. And so we have, again, just some information about Veterans Day. I don't think I knew all of these. I don't know about you. And so maybe it's something to help us prepare to not only observe that, but to have a more sincere gratitude for those who have served.
Absolutely. We begin with, obviously, tomorrow, is November 11th, is Veterans Day. It's always observed on November 11th, regardless of the day of the week on which it falls.
Now, Veterans Day began in 1919 as Armistice Day, marking the date when Germany and the Allies signed a 1918 agreement to cease World War I hostilities. Earlier in that year of 1919, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed November 11th as the first commemoration of Armistice Day, saying, quote, to us in America, the reflections of Armistice Day will be filled with solemn pride and the heroism of those who died in the country's service and with gratitude for the victory.
Yeah, Veterans Day tomorrow. It took almost 2 decades for Armistice Day to become a legal holiday, which occurred in 1938 by an act of Congress.
After World War II, sentiment grew to make the day one of observance of all veterans, and in 1954, President Eisenhower signed a law that changed the name from Armistice Day to Veterans Day.
Memorial Day, also according to the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, is a day for remembering and honoring military personnel who died in the service of their country, while Veterans Day is set aside to honor all those who served honorably in the military, whether in war or peace.
Now, as kind of a grammar nerd, this one is really interesting to me. Why does Veterans Day not have an apostrophe? According to the VA, the name does not include an apostrophe because it is not a day that belongs to veterans. Rather, it is a day for honoring veterans.
And finally, except for some with critical functions, federal offices are generally closed tomorrow on Veterans Day. However, when a holiday falls on a non-work day, Saturday or Sunday, offices are closed on the adjacent work day, etc. According to the VA, state and local governments, including schools, may determine for themselves whether to close or remain open. So anyhow, Veterans Day tomorrow, there'll be a lot of things going on, and we'll try to alert you to some of that as the show unfolds tomorrow, starting at 5:30.
Yeah, and you've heard from Dana Yoder and others, too, the honors for, again, about 18 million living veterans right now who just embody so much of what we hope this country continues to be about.
Again, so grateful to each and every one for your service.